All right. Well, I was joking with Norman or Gordon before the service that there aren't many hymns about dancing, but Maureen picked I've Discovered the Way of Gladness and Oh Say But I'm Glad, so I guess she's trying to fit that in. Gladness without dancing, that's right. Okay, so let's just get everything going here. So I have various texts we're going to be looking at here. I don't know that there's any one that we'll particularly be in, and I'll have them on the screen, so I think I'm just not going to call on you to open your Bibles. But our question is, this is our Ask the Pastor series, and the question I got was, why do Baptists shy away from dancing? So I have given us this title, Baptists and Dancing, and I put, what in the world? Instead of putting a text. All right, so we're going to talk about this topic. I looked on the internet to check. I just put Baptists and dancing on the internet and found some interesting articles. And one of them was, in fact, just recently updated on May 18th, 2023, with this title, Myth or Fact, Do Baptists Dance? So the first thing I'd like to say is that this subject and others like it are features of conservative Bible-believing churches, whether they are Baptists or not. The church I grew up in was decidedly not Baptist, but likewise held dancing in low esteem, though some of our young people would go to dances, to school dances. As I recall, I went at least once, maybe twice, to a dance in junior high because they had announced there would be a games room. And I stayed away from the gym wherever all the dancing was going on and played such classics as Hands Down. I remember playing Hands Down in that games room. And remember that game? And there are different other games that we played. And, you know, so whatever. That's what I did. That was the closest I ever got. Our message today will examine mentions of dancing in the Bible. Not all of them. There aren't many, actually, but we will notice the mentions and then consider why Christians might see at least some forms of dancing as not acceptable. So first of all, some positive mentions. And we'll start with Exodus 15:20. Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. This is after they crossed the Red Sea, and they are celebrating the victory that God won for them over the Egyptians. So, with timbrels and dancing. All right, so people will point to verses like this and say, see, it's not negative in the Bible. And then they'll point to Psalm 149:3. Let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. And then Psalm 30:11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So there's that reference. Ecclesiastes 3:4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance is mentioned. And then Luke 15:25, now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing as they were celebrating the return of the prodigal son. All right, so those are positive mentions, these, or at least not negative, in the Bible. There's several others. I just selected out a few of them that I found in an article about this. So let's look now at some negative mentions. And first one, this one is, the first verse in this is not referring to dancing, but it's the same incident. So let's look at verse 6 of Exodus 32, verse 6. So the next day, they rose up early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, the thing that we want to note here is the word play in the Hebrew, one of my professors says, refers to a very adult form of play. Right? So we take that into or it can refer to that. So Exodus 32, verse 19, it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. So we would have to say that this overall is a negative reference to dancing. And then there's another one. This is a parallel, two parallel passages. Matthew 14, verse 6, but when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. It's mentioned also in Mark 6:22, when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. So it seems that the dance was one that would appeal to the baser appetites, one would suggest, by the context of Matthew and Mark there, the pleasing of Herod and his guests. So those are the ways that the scriptures mention it. There's not a whole lot of instruction about it. It's just sort of mentioned by the way. It's mentioned in a positive context, it's mentioned in a negative context. So, and as you know, there is this tradition that conservative Bible believers tend to be shying away from that. We don't want to be supporting dancing. Usually that's quite adamant. Some Baptists or some conservative Christians would take the stand, you should never dance at all, period. Right? So some would be very extreme on it. Others would say, well, certain forms of dancing are okay, some forms of dancing are not. Alright, so what is dancing? Let's first of all talk about that. In the dictionary, we get, I got two different ones, one from the Merriam-Webster and one from dictionary.com. So the first one, a series of rhythmic and patterned bodily movements usually performed to music, right? A series of rhythmic and patterned bodily movements usually performed to music. So that's Merriam-Webster. Dictionary.com, to move one's feet or body or both rhythmically in a pattern of steps, especially to the accompaniment of music. I think that we would recognize that probably does define what dance or dancing is. So when we think about this, why do people dance? What is the purpose of dance? What does dance express? Quite often it can express some aspect of beauty as a concept. God made us in His image, which includes all kinds of creativity and expressions of beauty. So men express beauty through various forms of art. Music can express the majesty of God, the holiness of God. They express beautiful thoughts and appropriate emotions. It can be expressed through music, as well as inappropriate emotions and so forth. Same with painting. It was interesting to follow the Vasquezes. They travel to all these museums in Spain on Facebook and seeing the various art museums they went to. And they certainly had a very cultural experience. The rest of us, yeah, we're not doing that. But we're not going to such museums. At least as far as I know, my wife and I, is in our travels. But painting, as you know, can express very powerful ideas. A few years ago, we were doing the Worldview series, and we talked about a painting that Picasso did, Guernica, which is a painting about the Spanish, the war in Spain before, I think it was before the Second World War. That was when Franco came into power, if I remember right. But anyway, this village Guernica was devastated by shelling and so forth, and he painted this very dark, bleak picture, and we used that as an illustration in that series. And then we also used an illustration, and I forget the author's name, but a British guy, and he painted a painting. It was more realistic. It showed the line of soldiers waiting in line to get treatment by a medic. It showed the horrors of war, but it showed quite a few other things as well in that painting. In a way, I felt that Picasso's painting was almost completely negative in its approach. The other one was more uplifting, and though it showed war as a horrible thing, it still showed the human spirit triumphing over all the difficulties of the war. That's what I thought. All right. Now, so painting is a way that we express art. Sculpture is another. Literature is another. And dance is another. There are very famous performances that almost everybody has seen or at least heard of when it comes to dance. One of the, probably the most famous is the Nutcracker Suite. Is that by Tchaikovsky? Is that who wrote that? And the and there's this all this dancing that goes with it and the characters and so forth in them. It is true that when you're playing a piece of music with little children will often respond to the music with movement. Okay? So they're not great dancers, but they are responding with in a dancing way. Okay? So this is and as children grow up, some of them will become more skilled at beautiful expression by motion. So whatever you think of ballet, we mentioned Nutcracker. I mean, I think, did we go to one once? I don't remember. I sort of vaguely downtown. I sort of remember doing that. It's a classic piece, but I can't say as it moved me all that much. I have to say myself, but we can say that ballet as a form is generally considered a high art form, right? So you go down to the nightclubs and there's dancing there too. But it's not a high art form like ballet. You see, there's a difference, all right? And there's many other forms of dancing. I went to Wikipedia. They have an article that's simply titled List of Dance Styles. So they had 12 categories. African and American. I don't quite get that, why it's African and American together, but that was the title they put to it. Oriental dance. Ceremonial dance. Disco/soul dance, free and improvised dance, historical dance, and they put, I believe ballet was under historical dance, Latin dance or rhythm, novelty and fad dances, so things like, that were popular when I was a teenager, like go-go dancing and things like that were under that category, social dance, right, swing dance, and then category 12, other. Under each one of those categories, there were many specific kinds of dance listed under each of them. Some of them, at least 10, I think, under most of them. Maybe more than that. So there's all kinds of things that people will refer to when they're referring to dancing. So here's the thing about art. All art can express high ideals as well as sensuality. Right? I think we can see this most vividly in visual arts. So you can have a painting that expresses very high ideals, classic pose of some character or other, and it's showing some noble scene or whatever. But it also can expose sensuality. And you can, as I've often said, about art, there are dirty paintings and dirty books and dirty sculpture, and that there must be dirty music and dirty dancing as well. All right? So in visual arts, I think it's easier to see. I think we should see this in music as well. All right? So it's something that it goes without question. Man in his expression, some men tend in their art to be more noble than others. Others tend to be very base. And you can read that in novels. You can see it in movies. You can see it in paintings, photography. There's things that really do move you your spirit in a positive way in art. But there's also things that appeal to the works of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And that's true about art. And so, there's also a spectrum in all of this. So there, you can look at certain things and say, okay, this is absolutely, we shouldn't have anything to do with that as a Christian. But then on the other hand, as you go further along the scale, there's things that say, well, Okay, it becomes, and we've talked about this before in some of the Ask the Pastor sessions, that that we need to be careful about how we apply this in various areas. And so, of course, in dance, we should be able to see this. The high and the sensual are sort of the extremes. High art, sensual art, they're sort of the extremes in every form of human expression. And I think no one really denies that some dances are meant to imitate sensuality, at least, or actual sexual activity. Okay, some dances are meant to imitate these things. I don't think anybody denies this. I would be surprised if anybody did. And it is here that Baptists and most other Bible-believing Christians have problems. So, the issue isn't, does the Bible approve dancing? We gave those references where, for example, Miriam's dance. There was another one I could have included but didn't, where David danced before the Lord, it says. And people will use that and say, well, see, you know, David danced or Miriam danced, whatever. Well, that the issue isn't, does the Bible approve of dancing? It doesn't really deal with the issue as an issue. But there are warnings in the Bible about the world and the flesh. So let's just look at some of these warnings. The first one, very famous, 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So this warning instructs us, do not love the world. People will quibble about what is the world. Well, the things that the world values that pulls the heart and mind away from God. And there is a certain definition here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the boastful pride of life. And if you think about these terms and analyze those terms and apply them to whatever category you're thinking about, whether it's music or painting or sculpture or literature or even dancing, you should be able to see that these categories will apply in certain respects to those things that are expressed in some dances. Here's another warning scripture. Now, Galatians 5:19-21. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, at both ends of this list, immorality, impurity, sensuality, and drunkenness and carousing, we can find certain aspects of dance connected with these works of the flesh. I think that's quite clear. I think it's quite easily seen if we stop and think about what's going on in those sorts of dances. All right, and then another warning, Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 7. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. All right, so dancing, of course, is not specifically mentioned in this warning, but immorality is. There are certain, again, there are certain dances that we can clearly, even the lost person sees, these dances are connected with immorality. Right? Now, some are more connected than others. Some are more closely and deliberately expressions of sensuality. Others, you know, like there's a spectrum. Others, they're starting to draw back from the explicit to the implicit, okay, the suggestive and not the actual, all right? So the problem with dancing, as we said, some dancing indulges the flesh, especially simulation of sexual or sensual activity. When it comes to that, if it's a dance that's explicitly sensual or sexual, the answer for the Christian is simple. Stay away. Stay away from that. Now, I'm going to say something that could get me into trouble. Some Christians think swing dancing is legitimate. I just don't see. I've watched it on YouTube. I just don't see how it doesn't imitate sensual activity. Right? Now, if you don't know what swing dancing is, you can look it up. I wouldn't suggest spending a lot of time on it, but you look at it and see, does that dancing not simulate coupling in some way? Okay? All right? Pardon me? Yes, the waltz and things like this. But we'll come to that in just a second. Some dancing inflames worldliness. A friend of mine told me about how his mother-in-law gave up instructing ballet when she became a Christian. She realized that dancers were filled with pride and that the ballet didn't foster Holy Spirit thinking but worldly values and accomplishments. Now, we could say that about gaining any kind of skill. And another thing about ballet that we could note is that some ballet often has costumes that emphasize the body in an immodest way. So for a Christian, there is high art with ballet, but there is also these elements that our conscience has to deal with. And I wouldn't absolutely forbid it. Folk dancing is another category which usually expresses different kinds of expressions. It has to do with the culture and personality of a people. It has to do with celebrating wholesome, I think, generally speaking, from what I've seen of folk dancing. It celebrates appropriate and wholesome ideals of humanity. All right? So, well, all these interrupters in my sermons. Okay, so something like the Irish Ceilidh, Hungarian, I've seen Hungarian dances, all right, those kinds of things. There's another issue there. Let me hold back on that. Okay, so on the folk dancing, it's generally, I think, expressing just a joy of life in a cultural way. The only problem within what we see indigenous dancing and the drumming is the connection with paganism in what's going on in our country. And I'd have to say that most of the art of our indigenous, so-called indigenous people in this country is connected to paganism. And that is an area where it's not essentially the dance itself, but it's the whole culture of paganism that is being revived through that, those art forms. Alright, so when it comes to things like, as I say, folk dancing, it is here where Christians may be more open to dancing. But again, to be cautious, because with any kind of art form, it's very easy to slide over the line into something that appeals to the flesh. In costuming, in movement, in what is communicated. The key is what is communicated. Should Christians dance? In most couples dancing, so waltzing, all the things that you see in Jane Austen movies, all those things, the waltz and all those other things, there is a certain way of dancing that they had that, especially the stylized, there's a mix between folk and couples dancing in some of that. So there's a line that somehow Christians shouldn't cross, I think. And in bringing couples together in that way with bodily movement, not married to each other usually, that leads to things that, you know, aren't good. So I would say no. In modern dancing with rock music and such, I would say no. But folk dancing, I think, well, okay, it depends. And mostly what I know of folk dancing, that's acceptable in my mind. Now, here's the thing. Every believer, we're giving you principles here. The Bible doesn't explicitly say, okay, you can do this kind of dancing, but you can't do that kind of dancing. So the Christian has to take these principles in and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide them and make a decision about what they should do in terms of allowing that particular expression in their life, whether they should participate or not. I think that consequently, that's where, as Baptists, we tend to say no to most dancing. Let's put it that way. And with some exceptions. And so that's where the reputation comes, conservative Christians. But that's the way that I would make the decision. You have to think about what is it expressing, how are they dressed, what do the movements communicate, and can this truly glorify God and speak and communicate holiness? That's the issue for Christians. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity as we've thought about this topic. Lord, I pray that as we think about it in our own personal lives, that we would make wise decisions and honor you in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.